the Brandon Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Metashare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brandt's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrandtHanson.com.
People pretty busy over the weekend. They say 51 million people were on the roads over Thanksgiving Day weekend.
That's a lot of people.
It was. But you know what? Let's give ourselves some credit.
Overall,
yeah, overall, just
like humans.
We spread ourselves out pretty good.
That's true.
I looked around and I was like, hey.
We're not too congested.
Right. We're just kind of, for 51 million people on the road, and we're all, there was crowded, but it wasn't like you would think with 51 million people. I feel like we did a pretty good job.
That's a great perspective. I wish I would have had that. I was a little frustrated in traffic.
Right.
But
you need to think about it. It could be worse. 51 million people could be here.
I wish I would have talked to you about
on
that.
On this road at this light.
Because they're out here.
Uh-huh. Okay. There's a lot at stake here on this program because we don't have a prize budget. We have this huge scenario where if you get a question wrong, a planet blows up. Matt is here. It's all on his shoulders. And this is a nice planet. A lot of species on this planet. Really good species.
A lot of species.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're all other-centered and focused on servanthood.
And yet it's come down to this.
It's not like these are evil planets here.
So it's up to you. And here is the question. And you're married, so maybe this will give you some insight on this. How often do married couples argue on average every month?
Ooh.
Okay, I'll give you a multiple choice.
Every month.
Yeah. On average, married couple argues this much. 9, 19, or 29 times per month. What do you think?
The whole planet.
Yeah. The whole planet.
It's good to review that,
There's really no back out at this point either, which is unfortunate.
He could. I mean, you don't have to pull the button. It'll blow up.
I'm not the one pulling the button.
Brant.
I'm not.
Okay. Someone on this spaceship
is. It's not up to me.
Ridiculous.
What's the severity of these arguments? I guess that's the question. Mm. Like, are we talking about, like, oh, you didn't put this toilet seat down, or is it like...
Don't overthink it, Matt.
He has to. All these good species.
Let's go 9.
We're with 9.
9 times a month.
The entire planet hanging in the balance. They're all watching giant TVs in the plazas. They're gathered.
Oh, dear.
Watching you, and the answer is 19.
Oh, wow. Well, Matt.
Wow.
That's tough.
Yeah. Tough to see what you just caused, Matt.
Well, it was a thoughtful. He thought through it. So yeah, that doesn't matter.
It doesn't really help at this point. 19.
Is that a lot? Did that seem like a lot to you, Brant?
19?
Yeah.
It does seem like a lot, but honestly, I wouldn't know how to guess for us.
Mm.
What do you think,
Matt?
Let's get back to your book, I guess. If we are unoffendable, that is a lot.
Yeah, you shouldn't be getting upset about stuff all the time. But it does happen because we're immature.
Yeah.
I do think the deciding not to be offended thing matters a lot when you're living with people, working with people, you know, and when you're in close quarters. So I do think it lessens the arguments because you can just drop things. Traditionally, when we have arguments, we have fewer and they are more significant.
That would be, without being married and having no clue, that would sound more mature to me. Because it would be like, now we have to address it. Like, that's how I think of life overall, friendships, family, is that 98% of this stuff is a Sherry problem. So in 2%, it's a problem that I can't get over and I do need to address it.
Yeah, we need to work on that.
Yeah.
Like, if we can't get around, because we have to get around it.
Yeah.
Because we're going to make this work. So,
right.
And the rest of things are just little petty things that should be dropped. Drives some people crazy when you put up your decorations before Thanksgiving. So what I find interesting about this study, though, is they found that the people who put up their decorations last week or before, they're different than the rest of us.
How so?
They're happier. They found out that people who do that tend to be, it's not causative. They're not saying because they put up their decorations, now they're happier. They're, but it's correlated.
Interesting.
These
Do you
people,
have a theory on why that is?
I think there's... Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
I mean, I could throw out some stuff. It's just like willingness to not be locked into, like, I have to do this.
Okay.
Or, and also just more of a childlike, hey, I enjoy Christmas. Why not start it now?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
It's the people that are like, oh, I can't believe they put up, you know, these lights here. And so what? It's June 6th. Relax a little bit. Let them be childlike and have fun.
Merry Christmas.
So I don't know if you believe this or not, but they did this study and found out that late people will live longer. The people who are habitually late are more apt to have longer, happier lives.
Well, I will probably die tomorrow then.
Because you're punctual person.
I am like on time is late person.
Yeah, that's how the majority of my family is actually.
Yeah, according to this, you do that because you're too stressed out, and that'll cost you dearly at some point.
Well, that could be my husband thinks I'm stressed out. He thinks I worry about things, which is true.
Yeah, but what about anxiety or anxiousness? Like, well, okay, what are we gonna do? Like, that's how I don't live in that space. And people, I try to be on time. Like I was going to say for that study, is that the reason why those of us who tend to be late are going to live a little longer is because we're stressing out the people who are waiting for us. Because it does. It caused such a level of anxiety and borderline hostility that we don't get to Applebee's at 6:02.
I think it's the waiting around. We lose our will to live.
That could be it, too.
That's what's actually going on.
I can see a potential for that.
Why?
Well, I'll say myself, I hate being late.
Uh-huh.
And so I think because I have kind of that clock ticking in my head, like, we got to get there, we're running behind, it adds more stress.
Yep. That is precisely what the scientists here attribute it to.
Yeah.
That it essentially, mm-hmm. you're going to live longer if you're type B, not type A. Or type B people are going to be late. You know, they're not as worried.
Right.
Like me, I try to be on time because I'm worried about the other person. I care about the other people.
Yeah.
And so once you're...
Watch it, buddy.
Once you're emancipated from having to, you know, care about anybody but yourself, you can just show up whenever you want.
I was just wondering who's going to swerve
about.
Over here.
Really
I do
about.
Try to show up on time, Lizzie, because of other people. I'm trying.
Hey, if you're a new mom, you are going to appreciate this from some researchers. You got like a newborn in the house and you want to lose that extra weight you gained.
Whoa.
Here's what they say.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to help with that, there's a secret. They tell you, again, you got a newborn in the house, you want to lose the extra weight.
Mm-hmm.
The experts say, just get more sleep. Bam. That's what the headline here says.
That's nice.
Tip for moms wanting to lose weight, get some more sleep.
Well, it's just that simple.
It is.
Okay.
So there you go. I think that'll resolve everything
Absolutely.
For you.
Absolutely. Lay down, take a nap.
I don't see any obstacles
don't
here.
Have anything else going
it's
on.
It's simple. I saw that headline. I'm like, that guy, whoever wrote that headline, it's got to be a guy. He needs to find a bunker right now. One thing that's hard about prayer, I think this is true. I was just reading this person saying this. I think it's so true. A lot of times we think, okay, gonna pray. All right. Okay, gonna pray. What sort of lofty things can I pray about? Or step two, who's in the hospital?
Yeah.
So those are the two things.
That's true.
Well, no wonder it's kind of boring if you think about it that way, because neither one of those things is necessarily what you're really thinking about. Now, maybe you have somebody really concerned about is in the hospital. That's okay. But why not just think of the stuff that's actually on your mind, like actually weighing on you, and have a conversation with God about that. Because he knows anyway. I mean, he'll be trying to fool. No, my ideas are so lofty and ethereal and otherworldly. Like, no, they're not. Some of my prayers, honestly, when I'm really being honest with God, are like, God, help me not to care so much about what other people think about me today. Help me to get out of my own way. God, help me to be aware of you, because most of the time I forget you. I don't like that. Whatever you do, if you want to be the top of your field, you have to find out what the leaders are doing and then be like, okay, I'm going to copy that exactly.
What?
That's my tip for success.
That's different.
I'm sorry.
It's unique. But not really.
Tip number one, don't be yourself.
Find someone else. Okay. Copy them.
Back to this.
Right.
So the industry leaders for radio guys, it's like you got to be shocking.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
So I'm going to do that.
Okay.
Too.
You're going to be shocking. Yeah.
Now, I keep things rated G on the show because that's who we are. Mm-hmm. And so that's just what we do.
So you have to find alternative ways to shock people.
Right. Better ways. And I shock people with truth and facts. So brace yourself for this.
Mm-hmm.
The average human, how many times would you guess the average driver will honk a car horn in his or her life?
Can you give me a range or just think? Okay.
Because I don't want to give you a range.
All right, fine.
What do you think?
Over
the course of your life.
Over the course of your life, 1,000 times.
15,000 times.
Wow.
That's really shocking.
That's something.
I would put it closer to 100 for me.
Okay.
I don't honk my horn.
You don't?
I think of it.
I try not to because it seems a little aggressive. When I do it, it's just like a little tap to say, hey, that light's been green for a while. We can go ahead and go if you want to.
Hey, what's up? 15,000, though, it's kind of shocking.
15,000 is kind of shocking.
Kind of shocking.
It's kind of shocking.
It's the kind of shock jock show.
Yeah, you're an industry leader, Brant
Thank
Hansen.
You. Thanks. Let's do a little test here on the Brant Hansen Show.
Great.
With producer Sherry.
Okay.
Where's the logical flaw that's revealing of a significant cultural problem in this headline and story? And
okay.
Sherry actually passed this along to me, and I looked at it and thought, oh my goodness, what this just says so much. The headline is, being single will kill you faster than obesity, study says. Okay, so being single will kill you faster than obesity.
Mm-hmm.
The article goes on to say, loneliness is deadlier than obesity and should be considered a public health risk. Those with bad social connections have 50% increased risk. It doesn't talk about singlehood. It talks about loneliness.
Yeah.
But it's conflated. It's confused with singlehood for the title.
That's why I passed it on to you. Because I thought, wow, that's interesting. Because truthfully, and this is honesty, some of the loneliest people I've met are married people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There are some married people that are much lonelier than I am as a single person.
Well, and they're not even looking at marriage per se.
Right.
Just like you have to have this love interest, this romantic interest, or you will be lonely.
Right.
That's not true. But people just buy into it so much that it's just an obvious connection for the news writers.
Yeah.
Here. Like, well, yeah, if you don't have it's not true. Like anything that you think you have to have to be happy, that's not God, is an idol. That's what Timothy Keller wrote. I think it's true. It's like it's a substitute. It's a fake. I'm not saying it's not wonderful to have a great marriage or it's not wonderful to have great friends, but it's like this idea that this romantic thing, that'll fix everything. Like, it's just not true. Have you noticed how we'll do this? We meet somebody and we kind of draw an idea of what they're like, and then it takes them a while. It could be totally the opposite, but it takes them a while before we start to go, wait a second, I think I got that wrong. This person is actually really funny, really kind, or this person is not all about himself or something. I think we do the same thing with God. We have this idea of what he's like, and we're just going to stick to it. We've just determined that's who he is. It happens for some people. They grew up in a religious construct where it's God's this sheriff in the sky. He's getting ready to shoot us whenever we mess up. And for other people, he's just doddering old man that just wants everybody, he doesn't care what we do, just as long as we just kind of be nice. And then you actually read the Bible accounts, and neither one of those fits.
Yeah.
But it's funny because people will be like, well, then I'm not going to take that in. I'm not going to absorb that because it doesn't fit what I already thought. God just wants us to be nice. Well, it says here that he actually cares about how we behave in this way. Nope. Okay, well, then where did you get your God?
Then at the end, I guess I'm just God.
Really, that's it. That's it. We're leaving it to us because we get to shape what God is actually like and instead of letting him shape that for us. It's one of the chapters in Blessed Are the Misfits is called Blessed Are Those Who Don't Have Amazing Spiritual Stories.
What's an amazing spiritual story?
Well, it's most of the stories that I think we tell in church culture. I've done it a million times. Like, you tell this story that's beautiful. I used to tell this story about a kid on a missions trip, and he was this football player, and he's a tough guy. And I caught him behind the tent with a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And what he was doing was tying her shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was a special needs kid. And he was down on his knees in the dust in the desert, and he was tying her shoe because she needs somebody to tie her shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, that's really cool. And I was using that example of how the kingdom works, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful story.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And then he got, like a month later, he got some girl pregnant, some other girl pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And that was part of the story that I didn't share.
I was going to say, did you throw that in there?
No, because I was trying to make a point about how awesome my youth group is and how amazing.
How awesome you were.
How awesome I am as my youth minister and see how it ended up. It's a beautiful thing. And you can listen to that and you go, well, there's nothing nefarious or horrible about telling that story because it really is a beautiful. Okay, but it's a snapshot.
Yeah.
And the problem is we tell stories like that all the time. It's like, and then that. Well, and now this.
It's Facebook testimonies, right? They're
totally
handcrafted. They have filters on them. They're just not the
right
full story.
Like, that's the very end. Roll credits, but then it's not over.
No, right.
Did you ever see, I don't know if they did this on the Naked Gun movies, but they did it on Police Squad TV show.
Okay.
Which they would run the credits, and mm-hmm. everybody's frozen, you know. They're
right.
Like, ha, 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 mm-hmm. in the office, and everybody freezes, and they run the credits, and there's one guy who's still moving around, and he's freaked out.
Why he's like, everyone stop?
So everybody's just frozen, then he starts stealing everybody's wallets and stuff. Sorry. It's like, but wait, it's not over yet.
Yeah, right.
Life just keeps going on.
Yeah.
So you might have this great story about your kid who had got in trouble, but then now this. No, back in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's life. And it's not, this isn't despair that I'm talking about. I'm saying this is where we are. We should at least recognize it's where we are because we are people who mess up.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, unless we recognize that, I think a lot of us feel completely disempowered as believers or we don't feel like, we just feel very unspiritual because we look at the mess that is our spiritual lives, many of us,
mm-hmm.
and just go, well, I'm not like, I mean, where's the resolve? Where's
yeah.
the resolution?
And the sad part is, I mean, we do that in church culture to impress each other.
Yeah.
If we're honest. But there really is no resolution in scripture with a person that I can see that it's like, yay.
And
like,
then, yeah.
Yeah. It's always, and then, I mean, from Gideon to Samson to Peter to
Isaiah.
Paul. Yeah.
It's never like, and then happily ever. No, he was put in a log and sawed in half.
That's not funny. I don't know
Thanks.
Why I'm laughing at that.
Well,
no, true. I mean, you see Gideon is buying and this and that, and then he messes up. Or Solomon is so wise, and he's this and that, and 3,000
right.
wives. Like, it's always...
Right, except there's one character who lives a sinless life and ascends into heaven.
Yeah.
And he's the victor. So if people are like, hey, look at us as we're all... we're all victorious. You're supposed to be victorious. So all of your stories must end in victory.
Mm.
Like, but no, Jesus is victory. Like,
yeah.
like our victory is Calvary and mm-hmm. and him rising from the dead,
yes.
like defeating death. That's his thing.
Yeah.
And even in heaven, it's like, well, I'm going to live in victory. They're going to give me a crown. Yeah. And then it says you'll be throwing your crown
right
at his
at
feet.
Him. Yeah.
Right. So like it's his win. He fly the W flag. He gets all that sort of stuff. But we want to prematurely.
Yes.
So that we can show people, see, you win.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's right.
Right.
I mean, how many people wanted Tim Tebow's story to end a Super Bowl championship mm-hmm. instead of gets cut?
Right.
And then, oh, he gets signed. No, he got cut again.
Yeah.
Like, wait, it doesn't end this way. Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
That is freeing.
Yeah, right?
That is freeing, yes.
I think so, too. It's not being victorious. It's like recognizing the victory is God's.
Mm-hmm.
And there's messy stuff in my life, and it doesn't mean he's abandoned me or I'm just the ultimate failure. It's not what it means at all. That's how you're left feeling.
Mm-hmm.
The funny thing is people want to say, but there's victory, but you're left feeling like there must be none because my life is this way.
Yeah.
We still struggle. My family's a struggle. This is a struggle. I still struggle with this problem, that addiction, this other thing. Like, at some point, you will not struggle with this anymore. But we're still on this planet in this time.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to know that you're among friends, and that's the rest of us too. And wow, look at the mess of us, the motley lot of us, and God loves us anyway. He loves this group of people. What a mess.
And there's no template.
No.
We're like, I have to fit this, I have to fit that. That's why blessed are the misfits, because
right.
there's no template. We've tried to make one up, but there isn't any.
Well, If you're scandalized by that idea, by all of this, like, well, where's the people who are the victorious ones?
when Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down, he was talking to his disciples and I guess a crowd too. But he starts off saying, blissful are those who, blissful, blessed, happy. Mm-hmm. And then he starts to go down this list of who you don't expect. So that's what I did with these chapters. Like, blessed are the, and it is people you wouldn't expect. Blessed are the, happy are the people who don't have great spiritual stories. In God's kingdom, his kingdom is so good that those of us who are tripping our way through life and throw ourselves at his mercy can be happy.
Yeah.
Because that's how this kingdom operates. And I'm sure people at the time were scandalized by him making these announcements. He went up on a mountain and spoke authoritatively, like coming down like Moses did from a mountain, speaking authoritatively, and he's saying, this is how this works. This is how my kingdom works. It's not the strong, it's the meek. It's not the rich, it's the poor in spirit. Mm-hmm. It's not like, that's so awesome.
And so that people can walk away after reading the book and say, hey, I do belong.
Totally.
In the kingdom, I belong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to live with the fact that things are a mess for now, and we get to serve him out of gratitude, and he'll change us. He promises that. Mm-hmm. He gives us his Holy Spirit, and he will change us over time, but life is still going to be a mess.
Yeah. And if the change, I think if you're looking for the change to happen with an eye towards, then I get to tell this story, that becomes very disappointing.
Totally.
If you're just walking in relationship, I would guess even like a marriage or something where this is happening because we've committed to each other forever. And there'll be these peaks and there'll be these valleys. But at the end of the day, it's the commitment that sustains us, right?
Right.
And Calvary, he committed to me.
Well, in every story, ultimately, because of what you're saying, it used to be God's story. Like,
yeah.
It's about him.
Yeah.
And we really, if I can tell a bunch of great stories about me. I mean, just some amazing. Wow.
What a guy.
because I've been so lucky or blessed to like to travel around the world and
yeah.
stuff, have all these adventures and weird things happen and blah, blah, blah. And I could go on and you'd be like, oh, wow. Mm-hmm. But honestly, it makes somebody doesn't get to do that stuff. What do they get out of that?
Mm.
Wow, Brant's really awesome.
Yeah.
Great. Because he's really not. Like, God will take anybody and use anybody, and you either give him the credit for it or you're hogging it. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't have great stories and you don't have great resolution, they will resolve someday. Mm-hmm. And but for now, this is where we are. We're kind of like in a song that hasn't hit the resolving chord yet.
But he loves you here.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're in the midst of it together. How about that? Ultimately, it's a happy song. How about that?
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.